You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, we know all too well what the problems are. Inflation, the war in Ukraine, supply chain disruptions, and so many other things going on here. The problems are clear. The solutions, particularly how you protect your wealth, aren't so clear. And hey, if you've got a question about this really important topic, please send me an email to kl@carrielutz.com. Right now, we've got Eddie Gifford on. You find him at tactivewealth.com. Eddie, you're a wealth advisor, and you don't just shoot at the conventional markets. You're also into the alternative, investments as well, like cryptos. So right now, cryptos have gotten totally slammed. Bitcoin's down by two-thirds, give or take, and could be going lower. It seems like the alternatives, the options, are limited for how you navigate this storm.
Yeah, they totally are. I think we've seen crypto, like you said, drop significantly this year. The one alt, if you will, that is holding on so far is real estate, but real estate typically has an inverse relationship with interest rates in the long run. So if you end up in a situation where we're in a situation where interest rates are rising. And so the cost of property is pretty much doubled across the board. I mean, the cost is still the same, but the interest rate is doubled. So the payment is doubled. So I think when it comes to navigating that piece of your portfolio, the main thing when you're dealing with a volatile asset, for example, like cryptocurrency, is one, like it's not, especially in this market, it's not a buy and hold situation. You need to have predetermined stops or profit targets. We actually bought Luna earlier this year, believe it or not, at around 50, took profits at 80, took profits at about 110, and then sold out at 80, and then watched it go to zero. So by having a disciplined trading strategy along with whatever asset you're trying to, exploit or capitalize on, the volatility can actually be your friend. So
volatility can be your friend. The trend is your friend until the end, as a well-known trader has often said. It's not enough to be right at the wrong time. You got to be right at the right time. And that is extremely difficult, isn't it?
It is. There's no such thing as being right 100% of the time. Everybody always asks me, well, is the market going to go up or down? And I said, I don't know. Let's flip a coin, because the crystal ball doesn't work. Everyone who claims to have a crystal ball ends up getting cut with glass. So the reality is that it's more in this type of market, something where it makes sense to be more active. It's more about trade management than anything, and kind of having that discipline and not straying away from your rules. So, you know, I know personally for us, for clients, we basically take a three-tiered approach. We say, hey, one-third of your portfolio, we're going to be always invested, always hedged. One-third of your portfolio, we're going to be all in or all out. And one-third of your portfolio, we're going to have predetermined stops and targets. So depending on the market environment, we should at least have one piece of that portfolio that's doing decent.
Okay. So diversification seems to be very important here. But diversification for diversification's sake isn't really a strategy, is it?
It's not. Diversification is something where you just own a lot of stuff. And unfortunately, in bear markets, the traditional diversification doesn't really work, because everything is going to fall with a falling knife. So it's more diversification of strategy and how you handle the trading and the risk management associated with the portfolio itself. And that's the thing that no one ever focuses on. They talk about diversification and asset allocation, but that's old news. That's stuff we were doing 50 years ago. Nowadays, what we need to do is be more proactive with our methodology and say, okay, here's why I would buy something. but oh, here's why I would sell something. And I think that the, in both of those scenarios, that piece is lacking. It's just rebalance, repeat, rebalance, repeat. And that's just not the way we do things. We think that that's old news. And we got to be ready looking forward and be a little bit more proactive and be disciplined in how we actually manage risk and try to avoid the big loss or avoid the catastrophe. And then just, you know, realize that as an investment advisor, as a wealth advisor, I'm going to assume that you want me to make you the most money possible and lose the least amount possible, right? So we just have to kind of keep portfolio. Yeah, well, you know, that's not how Wall Street describes it, right? They describe it as a measure called standard deviation in beta, which is just a relative measure against some benchmark out there. And my benchmark is whether or not your plan is successful. And, you know, how we manage your portfolio is just dependent on how comfortable you are with volatility and what kind of your worst case scenario is. So we want to focus around what is kind of like your max loss. What are you willing to accept? If we have $1 million and that portfolio goes to 900,000, how do you feel? If it goes to 750,000, how do you feel? And we manage around that instead of managing around some random Wall Street metric.
All right. And we know that the best laid plans of mice and men, especially on Wall Street, often lead astray. When you're putting together the strategy, what is the best thing to do here? How do you start, I guess, is really the question. What do you, you know, do you look to make money or do you look to be defensive and not lose money? Or is it a combination of the two?
I would say a combo. I mean, really step one is identify the market, right? So step one is, are we in a bear type market or are we in a bull market? Because that's going to drive the types of things that we're investing in. As of December 21st of last year, our market internal said, hey, bear market's coming. So that's step one. And then from step one, we identify, okay, so what strategies are appropriate in that type of market? And so one is, yes, always invested, always hedged. And so what I mean by that is we might be, for example, we might own something like the Dow Jones, which is more of a fundamental value play. And then we might be short the QQQ, which is growth stocks, basically expecting that the market may go down, but as long as value is better than growth, we'll make money. And then maybe hedge with like a VIX, a fear index type scenario, where if we have a sudden acceleration to the downside, we can take a small amount of money and actually offset and provide true insulation. Normally, this is where we look at treasuries, but in the interest rate environment, that really hasn't been something that we could look at because as interest rates go up, bonds go down. So that's like one tranche. The other tranche is, hey, our market said that it's risk off. And so in that scenario, what we're going to do is we're going to take one third of the portfolio. We're just going to sit in cash. We're going to wait for either a buying opportunity or we're going to wait for the light switch to turn back on, so to speak. And then in the third bucket, we're going to look at the S&P 500, you know, the large cap stocks. We're going to look at small cap stocks. We're going to drop them through a filter that deals with momentum and earnings growth and moving averages. And then we're going to buy them. And then once we own them, we're going to have stops and profit targets in place. So we're always, like I said, we always have a reason to buy something, but more importantly, we always have a reason to sell something, whether that's at a stop, at a profit or a loss. But it's really about like managing that risk profile. So there are steps to take, absolutely. And just buying everything for the sake of buying everything because someone said you should is not the reason to invest.
Yeah, that's not a recipe for success on Wall Street, is it?
I mean, not in a bear market. The last 10 years, everyone forgot that how bad things can get like they did during 08, 09. And you know, we're staring down that same type of tunnel right now, and things could get a lot worse before they get better.
Yeah, what's your personal opinion about the market, where it's headed, and all that good stuff?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, if we're looking at it from a historical perspective, I would say, unfortunately, we're kind of in a coin flip market. And what I mean by that is in 1970, we had that was the last time that the market was down 20% in the first 6 months. And we had a 26.5% rally on the back end of that. And actually, every time that the market's been down 20% the first 6 months, it's ended up over the next 6 months. But from 2000 to 2002, we had a pretty dramatic drop in growth stocks, which has been a similar thing that's been playing out now as growth and technology did so well during the pandemic. And we saw actually the QQQ, the NASDAQ 100, drop 83% over 3 years. And during that drop, we actually had rallies as high as 50%. So even if the adage holds true that, hey, we're going to be positive over the next 6 months, that doesn't mean that we've recovered. It doesn't mean we're in a recovery. That could just be a six-month bear market rally. So I would say long-term, I'm definitely not that hopeful. I think that we're still in a bigger bear market here. We obviously started getting a little bit of positive last week, but this is a big week. We've got a lot of earnings this week. We've got GDP report this week. And so it's very, very possible that we could end up in a situation where some of the big names have poor earnings. We get the announcement that we officially have two quarters of contraction, which is a technicality. That means that we're in a recession, although technically it's not the definition of a recession. Every time we've had two consecutive quarters of contraction, we've gone into recession. So it's like 100% of the time at the end of this week, we've fallen into a recession. And 100% of the time, as of the end of the month, we've been up over the next 6 months. So it's truly like that coin flip market, unfortunately. And that's why we're just more focused on managing that risk. And it's okay to have some cash on the sidelines right now.
All right. So cash is king once again, huh?
Well, cash is an asset class. Everybody likes to pretend that it's not. But at the end of the day, when the stock market is down 20% in 6 months and you're sitting in cash, that's not a bad thing. You've done a good job for your clients in that scenario. As long as you have a predetermined reason to get back in, then you're fine. It's when you're just sitting in cash for the sake of sitting in cash and we fast forward 5 years and you're still sitting in cash. That's where the problem arises.
So when do you think it will be time to get back in to the market? Are we looking at, is it the time now? Or is this just going to be a bump higher? I mean, today the market's lower. It's July 26th, but the market goes up and down every day.
Right. Well, to me, it feels like this is a bump higher, if I'm being honest. Obviously, I don't know. I could be wrong. And that's why we have three tranches to our portfolio. I would say that if you're going to get in or if you're going to go all in, I would recommend some type of hedge to put in place, like a VIX hedge or something, just in case the market suddenly moves to the downside and it accelerates rapidly. That can provide some true insulation for your portfolio. But if we're looking at the long term, I say our market internals are still telling us that it's risk off right now. And so risk off means you hedge that portfolio or if you're trading a range, you get out of the top of the range and in at the bottom of the range and you don't stray.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's your take on commodities? They've taken a real hit, but inflation is still going higher. We've got the war still going on. We've still got a supply chain with major challenges ahead of it.
Right.
How does this all fit together?
So I think that commodities are it's the same thing, but it definitely looks like we're in a similar type environment to what we were in the 70s, which was a commodity super cycle. And so what that means is that we see these surges and then we see these drops and these surges and then we drops. And so unfortunately, commodities are a little bit more volatile in general than the stock market as a whole. And so even though commodities might be kind of breathing a little bit right now, I think that's all it is maybe a deep breath. And then we continue to see that thing run higher, because to your point, we have inflation, and the, our inflation that we're dealing with right now is a three-headed monster. That's the supply issue, which is the fact that we just can't grow enough crops to meet demand. There's the supply chain issue, which means that we can't get enough chips to meet demand. And then there's the actual money supply issue, which is what was what occurred as a result of the pandemic and all the stimulus, all this free money coming into the market. So we can technically try to fix that part with interest rates, but the other two parts can't be fixed with interest rates. And so tomorrow when they raise, whether it's 75 basis points or 100 basis points, all they can do is really control about 25 to 30% of the problem with that. So the other 70%, unfortunately, is going to be a time thing. And it looks like that time period could be 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. Wow. Yeah. Well, these commodity super cycles and inflation cycles can carry on for many years, sometimes decades, like the 60s, 70s into the 80s. Inflation just ain't going away tomorrow. That's really clear. Well, hey, so one piece of advice to all of you listening out there, what would you suggest?
Well, I would say that this inflation thing, you know, I like to call it, it's like blood crushers, the silent killer. So focus on what you can control, right? So number one is we know rates and hikes are coming. So if you have consumer debt, like credit cards, lines of credit, stuff like that, focus on paying those off. That's a guaranteed tax-free rate of return on your money, and you're reducing that debt. From a practical standpoint, plan your day. And instead of just like randomly going 8 places during the day, try to make all of those kind of be back to back to back to back, so you're more efficient with your fuel tank, so to speak, and you're just more efficient with your time. And then I think that, you know, from an investment standpoint, if you're that old school buy and hold type person, I would say you need to dollar cost average in over the next 12 to 18 months. But really what I would encourage you to do is look at things a little bit differently. Have a predetermined reason to buy something, have a predetermined reason to sell something. And if you can't figure that out, reach out to a financial professional who can help you do that.
All right. I think that's sage advice and probably can help things, help you mitigate the things that you can't control. If you've got a question for Eddie, you can shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. We will get you an answer. Eddie, as far as going to your site there, people can book an appointment with you. It's tactivewealth.com
and then / Eddie Gifford. So that's Eddie with a Y, EddyGifford. And yeah, well, we look forward to helping you out in whatever way we can.
All right. Excellent. And hey, send me an email. Let me know how you're coping with the inflation, how you're coping with a lower stock market values and the commodities. What do you do? Are you driving less? Are you eating less? Or have you changed your diet as a result of what's going on? How are you dealing with the current challenges? I'd really like to know. We'll share them with other people next time we do a show. Eddie, appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me, Carrie. You have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.